Before I start this morning, let's go ahead and open in a word of prayer. Let's pray. Jesus, we come here today with open hearts. We want to study your scriptures because we want to learn from you. Jesus, we love you. We want to follow you. We want to learn to live according to your plan and your heart for us and not according to our own plan and our own heart. So, Jesus, we ask that you would open up our hearts, open up our eyes, that you would reveal truth to us this morning. I pray that your Holy Spirit would actually be the Spirit of truth, and he would be leading us into all truth today as we take time to study the scriptures and to rethink church this morning. So, Jesus, come and have your way with us so that we may be able to obey you and follow you more and more closely. So we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, well, when I was in elementary school and junior high school, I really liked to play sports. Every fall, I played on the football team. Every winter, I played on the basketball team. But my favorite sport was in the spring and the summer. I loved to play baseball. And I actually have a picture. This is of my junior high school baseball team. That was about 1980. So can you find me in the picture? So is that me right there? No. Maybe is that me right there? No. Chris doesn't even know. This is me right here. Look how long my hair was. I had so much hair in junior high school. You wouldn't know, huh? But I had so much hair. But anyway, that was eighth grade or maybe ninth grade baseball. But friends, the thing about team sport, any team sport, whether it's baseball or basketball or soccer, any team sport, every person on the team is needed, right? I mean, just for example, let's think about baseball. Here we have what stadium is this, Chris? Dodger Stadium. This is Chris's favorite baseball team, Los Angeles Dodgers, right? Here's Dodger Stadium, but in baseball, you have nine players on the field, right? And although every player has a different position, all of the positions are necessary, right? And even if you have maybe two or three guys on the team, and they're really good, they're like your all-star player, maybe their talent is higher than everyone else, they have better skill, better ability than everyone else, even those two players need the other players on the team, right? Right? In baseball, every player is needed. If you've never played baseball, that really is true. Friends, it's very, very, very difficult, and Gito knows because Gito plays baseball, it's very, very difficult to play a baseball game with just six people. Right? It would be really, really hard if you just had four or five people who were trying to play all the different positions at the same time. It just can't be done. Friends, in baseball, there are nine positions, and all nine players are needed, and all nine players need each other. Well, friends, today this is exactly what we're going to see. This is exactly how the church is supposed to be, right? The church is like a team. Right? And while we might all have different positions and we're playing different positions in the church family, each person on the team is needed. We can't expect just two or three people to play all the positions at the same time. It just can't be done. Friends, in the church, we need one another. And that's our topic for today. You see, today we're continuing on in our series, and our series is called Rethinking Church, Exploring God's Heart for the Church. And through this series, our desire is to study the Bible, right? We want to study the Word of God, and we want to see what the Bible says about being the church. We want to discover God's heart for the church. I like the little subtitle in Japanese. It says, Kami no kokoro de, Kami no kyokai de. That's really what it's about, is doing church according to God's heart. Well, over the last 2 months, if you've been around, you know that we've discovered that really that the church kind of structure that is common and familiar in most churches today, we don't find that so much in the New Testament. Let me just give you a couple of examples of some of the things that we've been learning. For example, in many churches today, who's kind of the main person in the church? It's kind of the pastor, right? Right, pastors are often seen as kind of the head of the church. They're the person who kind of is, you know, organizing everything, and they're kind of, you know, they're the main guy. But the Bible says something very, very different, doesn't it? According to Scripture, the pastor isn't the head of the church. Who's the head of the church? It's Jesus, right? Jesus is the head of the church. The pastor's not our teacher. The Bible says Jesus is. The pastor's not our leader or our shepherd. The Bible says Jesus is. And we, as we've seen, the Bible's just really clear about that. And therefore, here at SIBC, we've learned that we really want to listen to Jesus and look to Jesus and follow Jesus. And friends, that's a very different paradigm, very different way of thinking about church, isn't it? Most of us have maybe never been in a church like that, and yet according to the Word of God, that seems to be God's heart for us. Another thing that we've learned along the way is that according to the Bible, every Christian is a priest, right? We've talked about that for a couple of weeks. In the Old Testament, we see the priests were this special group of people, and they had the privilege of seeking the Lord, right, and serving God in the temple. Those are the two things they did. They drew close to God, and they served God. But in the New Testament, we see that that privilege has been given to all Christians. It's not just a small group of people who get to seek God and serve God, but that's something that we can all do because the Bible says that we're all priests. And that's important for two reasons, because now we can all draw near to God. We don't need to have someone like a pastor or church leader stand between us and God. Each one of us can draw close to God directly. But it's also important because it means that, friends, all of us have a ministry within the church. We've all been filled by the Holy Spirit. If you're a Christian here today, you've been empowered by the Holy Spirit. You've been given gifts by the Holy Spirit so that you can serve and build up the rest of the church family. In fact, if you were here 2 weeks ago, we saw this really clearly in 1 Corinthians 14. We looked at verse 26, and we saw that there's an example of what it was like to go to church in the early church, and it said that they gathered together. When they gathered together for worship service, it said everyone participated. Everyone did something. Everyone somehow brought a gift to give away when they gathered together. Maybe it was a teaching. Maybe it was a song. Maybe it was a word of encouragement. Maybe it was a prayer for somebody. But nobody came together empty-handed. Everyone brought something. See, it wasn't just a few people, maybe the church leaders or the pastors who were actively involved in the service. We see everyone was involved. Why? Because every Christian is a priest. Every Christian has the Holy Spirit living in them, and the Holy Spirit wants to express Himself through all of us. And friends, again, that's a very different paradigm for doing church, right? That's different from maybe how most of us have ever experienced church, and yet as we read Scripture, that seems to be God's heart for the church. Friends, it's not God's design for just three or four people to do all of the work in the ministry of the church. Just like it's not possible to have three or four people play all nine positions on the baseball team, right? We are a team, and we need one another. And that's actually our topic for today. So, if you have your Bibles, let's go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I wish I could read the entire chapter, but just for time reasons, we're just going to read a part of it. We'll be reading verses 12 to 27. And Japanese can go ahead and start because it always takes longer to read in Japanese, right? So, okay, so this is the Apostle Paul speaking to you and I. Starting in verse 12, Paul writes, "The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And through all its parts, though all its parts are many, they form one body. And so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body,' it would not for that reason cease to actually be a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body." Verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable, we treat with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it. Why? So that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Okay, well, gosh, there are so many things we could talk about from those verses, but this morning I tried to limit it to just five. So there's five things I want to share with you from this passage today, and if you have your yellow outline, you can go ahead and fill in as we go along and take notes. But let's start with number one. All right, we're talking about needing one another. And the first one is this, friends. The church is one body with many parts. All right, the church is one body with many parts. We actually see this a number of times in these verses. We see it in verse 12, in verse 14, in verse 20, and in verse 27. But basically, Paul compares the church to a human body. And like a human body, Paul says that the church has both unity and diversity, right? According to verse 13, Paul says that our unity comes from where? It comes from the Holy Spirit, right? Paul says that we've all been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and we've all been given the Holy Spirit to drink. You see, when a person turns away from sin, and when they turn to Jesus and decide to follow Jesus, right, that person becomes a new creation. And part of becoming a new creation means the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us. Friends, and Paul says it's the Holy Spirit that unites us together. Right, the Holy Spirit is the one thing that all Christians have in common. I mean, if you just look around the room here, we're a very different group of people, right? We come from different countries and speak different languages. I mean, we're really different. And yet Paul says that it's the Holy Spirit that actually unites us together. Right, and so Paul actually, he says that it doesn't matter if some people are Jews and some people are Greeks, because he says in the Holy Spirit, they're one. Right? Paul says, it doesn't matter if some people are free and some people are slaves, because in the Holy Spirit, they're one. Right? It doesn't matter if some people are men or some people are women or some people are Japanese and some people are foreigners. It doesn't matter if some people are Tiger fans and some people are Giant fans. Paul says we're all one in the Holy Spirit. I see we have no Giant or Tiger fans here, huh? They're all like, who? Hanshin Giants? Is that who they are? Anyway, but it doesn't matter because we're all one, right? You see, we're united by the Holy Spirit, right? And in this way, right, the church is one body, Paul says. And that's true for the worldwide church, Christians around the world. We are one body. But it's also true for us here at SIBC. Here at SIBC, we are one body. Yet, in the midst of our unity, Paul also says there's great diversity. Right, and this, I think, is where the metaphor of the human body is really helpful. I mean, friends, how many bodies do you have? Anyone have more than one body? No? We all have one body, right? I have one body, and yet in my body there are hundreds of different parts, right? Right? And every part is special. Every part is specific and unique in its purpose. Every part does something that no other part can fulfill. Now, some of the parts in our body are on the outside. You know, it's our ears and our elbows and our toes. Other parts are on the inside, and we can't see them, like our liver and our muscles and our bones. And although there is great diversity, friends, it's amazing, if you think about it, how all of our parts are connected and all of our parts work together. I mean, when I walk across the stage, I can't even begin to realize how many parts of my body are having to work together just for me to walk like this. You see, but that's what a body does. It's many parts, but one body. There's diversity, and yet in that diversity, there's unity. Friends, and Paul says that's exactly what the church is supposed to be like. All right, so here at SIBC, each one of us has a unique purpose and a unique role and a unique function in the church. Each one of us will serve in different ways. We will have different ways that we will build up one another and encourage one another and support one another and help each other to grow. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul actually gives us some examples. We didn't read these, but Paul gives us examples of different ways that you and I maybe will help the church to grow. I put them on here, right? In verses 8 through 10, Paul mentions these things, right? Wisdom and knowledge and faith and miracles, prophecy, right? These are things that you and I maybe can use to help the church to grow. This will be our part that we play in the body. Also, verse 28, he mentions some more, and couple of the things he mentions twice, so I didn't list it twice if Paul mentioned it twice. But friends, these are just some of the ways that Paul says we might contribute to the body. These are just some of the ways, some of the things that you and I might do, some of the ways that God might use us to help build up the church. But my point is, there's a lot of diversity, isn't there? There's all of these ways, plus many, many more ways. But because there's so much diversity within the church, because we all have a different giftings and different abilities and different things that God wants us to do, friends, we need one another. Right? I mean, for example, a human body without a nose, or a human body without a leg, or a human body without teeth, it won't function as well as it should, right? Now, you could still get by. If I didn't have teeth, I could still kind of shuck on my food or something. I could still eat. I'd still survive. I wouldn't die. But it wouldn't be functioning the way that maybe I could, right? You see, friends, in that way, every part of the body is needed. And in the church, every person is needed. In order for the church to be strong, in order for the church to be healthy, in order for the church to grow and to mature, each part of the body needs to fulfill their own unique purpose. Each part of the body needs to fulfill their role, their function within the body. That's the only way the body can function well. You see, friends, we're one body, but many parts. And when all the parts work together, the entire body becomes strong. Friends, in that way, we need one another. Does that make sense? Okay, well, Paul continues on, so let's continue on. Number two. Look at this. No part is more important than another. Right? No part of the body of Christ is more important than another part of the body. And we actually see this in verse 21 through 26. And in fact, take a look at verse 21 here. Right, 21, verse 21, Paul says this. He says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. Right? Now, friends, if you think about it, this is really kind of a ridiculous thing to say, right? I mean, of course, the eye needs the hand. Because the hand can do things that an eye cannot. And if you don't believe me, try writing an email with your eye. Like, you're going to hit the keyboard. I mean, you can't do it, right? Your eyes need your hands. It's ridiculous for the eye to say, I don't need you. Because the body needs the other parts. And yet Paul says there are some people within the body of Christ who for some reason think that they're more important than the other parts. Right? Maybe they tend to be the people who are pastors and leaders, right? And then they tend to think, I don't need other people because I can do it by myself. I can do ministry. I can serve the church. I can do these things by myself. I don't need other people. And friends, obviously that's pride, that's arrogance. And that kind of thinking actually prevents the body of Christ from functioning well. But sometimes there are people who think they're more important than other people in the body of Christ. So while sometimes, though, it's the individual person that kind of lifts himself up and sees himself as more important, friends, sometimes in the church, it's not the individual that lifts himself up. Sometimes in the body of Christ, it's the body that will actually lift up the individual. Do you know what I'm saying? Sometimes the body will look to one person and say, ooh, that person's important. And although the person won't say, I'm important, the body will say, yeah, They're important, and the body wants to lift them up. And the body treats them as more important. And often this happens with pastors and teachers, right? They lift them up. We say, ooh, they're more important. They're more necessary in the church. Do you kind of see what I'm saying? And as a result, the people in the church actually expect maybe the pastor or the teachers or the leaders to do most of the work or most of the ministry of the church by themselves. But friends, both those ways of thinking are just completely wrong. Because in the body of Christ, no part of the body is more important than any other part. Right? No one can do the work in the ministry of the church by themselves. You can't have two or three people playing all nine positions on the baseball team. It doesn't work. And friends, for this reason, in verse 25, Paul says that there should be no divisions in the body of Christ. And when Paul says there should be no divisions, he's not talking about people who are fighting. He's not talking about fighting. He's talking about ranking. He's talking about hierarchy. He's talking about how sometimes we like to lift people up as being more important than others. And Paul says, no, there aren't to be any divisions in the body of Christ. That's not God's design for the church. Friends, in the body of Christ, each person is important. Everyone is a priest. Everyone has a part. Everyone has a role. Everyone has a purpose. Everyone has a ministry. And for that reason, we need one another. Does that make sense? Okay. Well, number three is actually very similar to number two. Number three goes like this. No part is less important than another, right? No part in the body is less important than any other part. And again, we see this in a couple of verses. One example is in verse 15. Right? Look at what Paul writes. He says, if the foot should say, oh man, I'm not a hand, so I guess I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. But do you see what Paul's saying here? I think sometimes, how do I say this? I think sometimes we compare ourselves, or people compare themselves to other people in the church, right? And when we look at some people, we think, oh gosh, I can't do what they do. Oh man, yeah, wow, look how talented they are and this. Oh God, I guess I'm not as important as them. I'm not as needed or necessary in the church as them. Oh man, I can't play an instrument, and oh, I can't translate as well as Michio can, and I'm not a pastor, I didn't go to seminary, therefore I don't have an important role to play in the church. You see how that works? I think unfortunately there's a lot of Christians who sometimes think that. A lot of Christians think that there's nothing special about them, there's nothing unique about them, they're just, you know, small little so-and-so, and their gift isn't so important, and they're not really needed in the church, and they think the church can function just fine without them. And I think that's how many Christians think. And I think some Christians think this way because honestly, don't get mad at me, okay? You won't get mad at me, right? I think some Christians think this way because honestly, they're lazy. They don't want to serve. And they don't want to grow. And they don't want to obey the Bible. They don't want to follow Jesus. And they don't want to help build up the body of Christ. So they use this kind of thinking as an excuse to do nothing. Oh, I don't know what my spiritual gifts are, so I guess I can't do anything in the church. Yay. And that's their excuse, right? For just being an inactive member of the body of Christ. Now, hopefully that doesn't describe any of you, right? But I think sometimes we do that. We think of ourselves as less important because then we think, I don't have to do anything in the church because I'm a nobody. Paul says we can't talk like that. But I think sometimes other Christians, they think this way. They have this sense that they're less important than one another. Because I think unintentionally, the church has taught us to think that way. Right? If you go to a church very long, you kind of get the impression that, well, no one ever says this, but you get the impression that the people who are kind of up on stage and who are leading and kind of do the things that everyone sees, you know, like in our church worship and maybe the message or translation, you get the impression that maybe those people are the real important ones. And that maybe if you're not doing one of those things, then maybe you're not so important. Now, we never say that. No one ever would say that. But I think that's kind of the impression that sometimes people get. The way we do church, where we have a few people up front and most of the people not up front, it gives the impression that the people sitting in the chairs maybe aren't as important in the church. That maybe they're not as necessary. Maybe their role isn't so significant. And so I think there's a lot of people who see themselves as maybe optional body parts in the church. You know, every once in a while, someone needs me to set up chairs, but the other times, I'm not really that necessary. I'm not that needed. And friends, I think maybe just our church structure and the way that we sometimes do church, not just here, but a lot of churches, right? I think the way we do our worship services, it unintentionally causes people to think of themselves as less important than others. Does that kind of make sense? Well, I hope that none of you think this way. Because here in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul says that way of thinking, it's clearly wrong. Paul says, even though you might think of yourself as just the foot, not the head, it doesn't matter because you're important. You're still a part of the body. Friends, every part of the body is important. Every person in the church is important. And in your own eyes, you might think you're not important, but you know what? You are. Each one of you has a unique role here at SIBC that can only be filled by you. I mentioned this 2 weeks ago. How many noses do you have? Only one. So if you're the nose of this church, we need you to be the nose, because there's not like an extra nose to kind of fill in for you, right? Every single one of us has a unique role to play, and therefore, friends, we need one another. Okay? So no part is less important than another. Well, let's continue on. Number four. Number four is this. God arranges the parts of the body according to His will. God arranges the parts of the body according to His will. Right, again, we see this in a couple of verses. Let me show you verse 18 here. Verse 18 says, in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them. Now, not some of them, not most of them, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. Friends, for those of you who consider SIBC to be your church family, do you know why you're here? I'll tell you why. You're here because God wants you to be here. You might think that you chose to be a part of this church. Maybe you're the one who searched on the internet and you found SIBC and you decided to come here and be here. You think maybe you chose? Sorry, that's not what Paul says. Paul says God chose. God chose for you to come and to be a part of this church family. You see, because Paul says that God is the one who arranges the parts of the body just as God wants them to be. And actually, we've seen this quite a bit in the last few, weeks and months here at SIBC, right? We've had a number of people who have gone out from this church. And while it was sad to say goodbye to old friends, I think that was just God rearranging the parts of the body. God knew that they were needed somewhere else to be a part of a different body. And so we rejoice in that. Right? At the same time, we have had new people come into the church family. And again, that was just God rearranging the parts of His body according to His will. Friends, you know what that means? That means God has brought you here for a reason. God brought you here because God knew that we needed you. God knew that your gifts and your skills and your experiences are somehow going to fill the holes that we have here at SIBC. God brought you here so that you can get involved and be a part of this body. Right? God arranges the parts according to His will. So, here's the question. What's your role? What's your purpose here at SIBC? Now, that's actually a question that you need to talk to God about, right? He's the one who answers that. But let me just say this. Friends, as you come here each week, you probably notice those areas of the church where we are weak. As you come here each week, probably each week you notice there's certain areas that we struggle in. There's certain areas that we are not doing well. Well, maybe the reason why God brought you here was because He has equipped you to see the need, but also to meet that need. You see, anytime you see a need in a church, you can do one of two things. You can either criticize and complain, or you can help out. Right? Anytime you see something you don't like, you can either criticize, or you can help out. And you can fill that need. So, if some of you come here each week, and every week when you arrive, you think, you know, this church really needs greeters. There's no greeters. Why don't they have greeters? If that's what you're thinking, maybe God has brought you here so that you can be a greeter, or you can get a group of people together and kind of start a greeting ministry. So every week there's someone to, you know, smile and say hello when you walk in and hand out a bulletin. If you see that need, maybe God has brought you here to fulfill that need. Or maybe you see the need to have a home groups, right? Or home Bible studies. That would really be a good thing. Or maybe you see a need for us to have a better home page. Or maybe you see a need for us to do ministry to the homeless. Or maybe you see a need for a Sunday school class for the older elementary school kids, right? Maybe if you see these needs, maybe that's God actually leading you to do something to meet that need. Maybe that's why God brought you to SIBC. You see, friends, you're not here by accident. God brought you here according to His will and His purpose. He brought you here so that this whole church could be stronger and healthier. And so that together we can reach more people and serve more people and love more people and help more people to know about Jesus. And in that way, we need one another. Right? Okay. Almost done here. Number five. Number five says this: each part has equal concern for each other. Each part has equal concern for each other. Friends, this is exactly what Paul says in verse 25. Paul says that the members of the body should have equal concern for each other. Now, the key phrase here is each other. Friends, God's heart for you, God's heart for me, is that we would take care of each other. Some people think that's what the pastor's supposed to do. That's what the leader does. The leader takes care of all the people. Well, yeah, they do have that responsibility. But according to 1 Corinthians 12, we all have that responsibility. We all take care of one another. We all use our gifts and our talents and our experiences to serve each other. We all show concern for each other. You see, friends, this is the way it is in the body of Christ. In the body of Christ, service never just flows one way. It's not just a few people who give and then everyone else who receives. Right? In the body of Christ, it's always supposed to flow two ways. Right? Everyone has a part. Everyone does a part. Everyone gives. And when everyone gives, everyone also receives. Right? And we see this all over the New Testament, don't we? You know, I like to talk to you about the one another passages in the Bible, right? We looked at these last time, but here's just some of them. There's about 30 passages that tell us how to treat one another. But, for example, Scripture says we are to serve one another and encourage one another and pray for and build up one another and teach and love one another. But the important word here, each time, it's one another, one another, one another, one another. You see, one another means it flows both ways, right? It's one another, one another. We serve one another. We help one another. We love one another. It's two ways. Friends, and that's God's heart for the church, right? That's God's plan for His people. When we gather together, God wants us to be a relational people. He wants us to have concern for each other. Now, let me ask you this. When we gather together for worship service on Sunday morning here at SIBC, are we doing these one another's? Not really, huh? I mean, maybe before 10:30 we do it. Maybe after 12 o'clock we do it. But between 10:30 and 12, there really isn't much opportunity for us to build relationship, isn't there? Is there? Right? There really isn't much one another's going on, right? Not opportunity to do one another to one another. Most of what we do here is just kind of, it's kind of one way, isn't it? I talk, you listen. There's no one another. I tell you when to sing and you sing. I tell you when to pray and you pray. You just are politely follow me, and it's one way. There's really no opportunity for us to do one another when we gather together, right? And friends, I think in this way, when we gather together on Sunday mornings, we don't really actually need one another, do we? The way we gather together, the way we have worship service, we basically just need two or three people who kind of do the planning and do the preparing. And then on top of that, there's two or three more who will come and they'll serve in various ways. But for the most part, there's no opportunity for you to serve or to do ministry or to use your gifts. And I'm not blaming you. It's just, even if you wanted to use your gift, there's just no opportunity, no chance for you to do that in the way we do church, is there? Now, friends, I'm not saying that it's wrong for us to have worship service the way we do. In fact, I'm sure many of you like how we do worship service, or else you'd be going somewhere else, right? But, you know, I know that how we do it is probably comfortable, it's familiar, it's easy. But if I can be honest, friends, I think this is maybe an inferior model for gathering together as the body of Christ. Because the Bible shows us a very different way of being the church. Right, when we look at Scripture, we see that God's way is that everyone is serving. Everyone is involved in the gathering time because everyone is a priest. And so I think the challenge for us here at SIBC is, how do we create opportunities for us to actually do the one another's when we gather together? How do we somehow do church so it's not just one way, but so it's going like this? And not just between you and me, but between all of us. Now, last week, we kind of did that, didn't we? Last week when we read Scripture together, and then we got together and we had time to talk and to share. So that was kind of one another, right? But how can we do church in such a way where that becomes just not a one-time thing that we do once a month, but that becomes just kind of the everyday thing that we do when we gather together? Because, friends, I'll be honest, I'm hungry to be a part of this kind of church, this number five, where we have equal concern for one another. I'm hungry to be a part of a church where we're doing actually the one another's when we gather together. I'm hungry to be a part of a church where everyone participates, where everyone plays their part, where everyone contributes, where everyone is able to use their gifts, where everyone takes care of each other. Are you hungry for that kind of church too? I hope so, because that's what this whole series is about, right? We're taking time to rethink church. Because we really want to explore God's heart for the church so that we can do church God's way, not our way. Right? That's the subtitle of this series, right? Kami no kokoro de, kami no kyokai e. Okay, well, I'll tell you what. I could keep talking forever and ever about 1 Corinthians 12, but we need to wrap things up, so why don't I do that? Friends, today we've seen that Paul compares the church to a human body, right? And although we are one body, Paul says we're many, many parts, right? In fact, each Christian is a different part of the body, and therefore each one of us has a unique role, a unique function, a unique purpose in the church, and that's really kind of wonderful. I think that should make you excited, because you're special. You're important. Friends, you are an important part of this church. Right? And if this is kind of your home church, God has brought you here for a purpose. Your gifts and your talents and your experiences are absolutely necessary in order for us to be strong and healthy and a well-functioning body. Without your part, the whole church will suffer. Without you, we will not be whole. And friends, in this way, we need one another. And as a body, church is something that we do together. Right? It's not asking just a few people to kind of do the ministry of the church, because it's not possible, right? If we go back to our baseball illustration, right? Imagine you got the pitcher, but then we also ask the pitcher to play third base. And then we also ask him to play center field at the same time. Now here's the deal. Because this pitcher, because he has a heart for the team, because he loves his teammates, right? Because he wants to help out,
He might try to do that. And he might try with all of his strength to be the pitcher and the third baseman and the center fielder all at one time. And he'll give it his best shot. But you know what? He's not going to be very effective. No matter how hard he tries, no matter how talented or skilled he is, he just can't do the work of three people. Right? And not only will he not be effective, he'll probably get very, very tired very, very quickly. And yet, friends, that's kind of what, that's kind of how it is in many churches, right? If there's just a few people who are doing the role of many people, they're going to get very, very tired because they're doing too much. Right? Because they're trying to play three or four positions at once. And friends, it's just not possible. And I'll be honest, I'm a little concerned here at SIBC. There are some people who actually work very hard, serve very hard. And I'm afraid they're going to get burnt out if we keep asking them to do so many things. You see, so instead of five or six people doing the trying to do the work of all 30 people in the church, Paul says that it's 30 people, each doing their own part. If everyone does a little, we can accomplish much. Right? We are many parts who work together as one body. And friends, we are like a team. Church is like a team. And as a team, we work together. As a team, we do our part. And when we do that, we will all grow. Every one of us will grow. We will all mature. And we will all learn how to follow Jesus. And we will all become strong in our relationship with God. But not only that, when we're all doing our part, the church itself will grow. And as a church, we will be a light in the darkness. As a church, we will lead people to Jesus. As a church, that we will release kingdom culture into our neighborhoods and into our cities and into our workplaces and into our homes. And that's what happens when everyone does their part. Friends, we need one another. Well, in just a moment, we're going to take time to worship and take time to be still before God, take time to receive communion as well. And as we prepare just to take this time to be still and quiet before the Lord, here's some questions I want you to consider, all right? Friends, what's your part? What's your part? What's your role at SIBC? Why did God connect you to this body? I mean, he could have connected you to any church around. Why this church? Why this body? What gifts and talents and experiences has God given to you, right, that he wants you to use to build up the Christians in this body? What purpose does God have for you at SIBC? And friends, those are very important questions. And I encourage you to take some time to seriously consider those. But hear this. Those are not questions that you provide the answer for. Instead, I think you take those questions and you ask Jesus what his answer is. Jesus, what's your part? What's the part that you want me to play here at SIBC? Jesus, what ministry have you prepared for me here at SIBC? You see, Jesus is the head of the church, right? Right? Jesus said he would build his church, right? Yes. So ask Jesus what role he has for you. And friends, if you don't get an answer right away, don't get discouraged and don't give up. Keep seeking Jesus. Keep asking Jesus. Even if it takes a few weeks, even if it takes a few months, don't give up. And whatever you do, I'll end with this. This is really important. Whatever you do, do not believe the lie of Satan that you are not important, because you are important. Do not be deceived that into thinking that your part of the church is not necessary. Your part is necessary. Every one of you is important. Each one of you is a part of the body. So the question is, what's your part? What's your role in the body of Christ? All right, let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that you said that you would build your church. But we thank you that you also said that you would build it through us. Jesus, it's
so wonderful to know that we are connected to a body, that we are connected to your body.
We thank you for the role and the purpose that you have for us, Lord, here in this church. And Father, we ask now that you would speak to us. Jesus, we ask now that you would come and you would begin to reveal to us, show us by your Holy Spirit, the gifts that you've given to us, the talents and the skills that have been given to us, that you want to use in order to strengthen the body here at SABC. Father, I pray that you would lift the veil from our eyes if some of us are just stuck in that thinking that some people are more important and I'm not so important. Father, help us to see today that each one of us is a valuable, important, necessary part of the body of Christ. So Jesus, as we look to you now, we ask that you would speak to us. Come, Holy Spirit. You now to just take a few minutes to talk to the Lord and listen to the Lord. During the next three songs, if you would like to receive communion, then you can just get up, make your way over to the communion tables and receive the communion.